Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard today here on 95.7 The Game. He's out for this week. It's Dan Dibley, FB Santangelo, Mark Randy with you here on Willard and Dibs all the way until 6 o'clock as we officially are past the MLB trade deadline. There still might be a couple of moves that trickle in over the next handful of minutes, but the trade deadline has officially expired, and there's a lot of news and moves that have come down the wire over the last like 10 minutes or so. The biggest one and the most important one to the San Francisco Giants does not have to do with the Giants. It has to do with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have acquired Jack Flaherty from the Detroit Tigers. He's been very good with the Tigers so far this year, so they beef up their starting rotation, which they desperately needed. Doesn't necessarily impact the Giants all that much. The Giants are not going to catch the Dodgers, and the two don't play. But one that does affect the Giants a little bit more, guys, as we continue to get some deals that are trickling in over the next handful of minutes, the Dodgers have also required center fielder Kevin Kiermaier, arguably the best defensive center fielder in Major League Baseball, and a position that the Giants were reportedly interested in was upgrading their center field defense. They were thinking of trying to move Elliot Ramos to a corner outfield spot, maybe allow him to DH here and there as well to save up his body a little bit, because he's been playing nonstop since he got recalled and has been on this run. But Kevin Kiermaier goes to the Dodgers. Jack Flaherty goes to the Dodgers. A lot of other moves we can get to in a little bit, but those are the biggest ones at the moment and the ones with the biggest impact on the Giants. Kevin Kiermaier, who I'm sure the Giants were at least interested in, guys, is now a Los Angeles Dodger.
They were definitely, and they wanted to shore up their center field defense because I don't think Elliott's been playing great out there lately. He's misjudged a few balls and some drop balls. And then you get your leadoff hitter, too. I'm 100% they were in on that. That one kind of hurts for me.
It hurts, but he's having a terrible year. So, I mean, would it just be a guy who comes in for defense or, I mean, something
how,
that...
How bad?
I mean, really bad. OPS of 546.
All right, never mind.
He's batting 195 with four home runs. He's 39 for 200 on the year.
That's not bad. Those are good numbers.
I mean,
they need somebody to go get the ball in center field. If you're basing this whole thing on the rotation that we've been talking about, then I don't think Elliott's bad out there, by the way. I just think he's had some...
Had a couple bad moments lately. A
couple hiccups lately. He's not bad.
He's just not a center fielder.
Might be getting tired.
He's a corner outfielder, and I do wonder about the future of center field because it feels to me like you'd be looking at Jung-Hoo Lee, put him in there for years to come, but there's also the thought that, you know, maybe you want to have some center field defense or an insurance policy just in case he's not able to be back at 100% off that bad, bad shoulder injury.
But unless something comes down the wire here in the next handful of minutes, not going to be another move for the San Francisco Giants. They have made a couple of moves so far. They traded Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to Atlanta. Not really getting anyone back that's going to help the team right now, but maybe you clear up a spot for Marco Luciano to DH. You also make a trade. You send Alex Cobb to the Cleveland Guardians, and you don't get back again anyone who's going to help you anytime soon, but you have five other starting pitchers who you feel pretty confident in as the Giants move forward through this season. But I'm having a hard time putting a term on what this trade deadline has been for the San Francisco Giants. Maybe I view this in ways entirely different than you guys, but if I feel like my team has a chance to compete, and I think the Giants feel that way, I think you guys feel that way. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but considering their pitching staff, they got a pretty damn good pitching staff. And if this group of five stays healthy, you've got Blake Snell, you've got Logan Webb, you've got Robbie Ray, you've got Harrison, and you've got Hayden Birdsong. That's a pretty damn good group of five. And if they stay healthy throughout the end of the season, you're probably going to be in a lot of baseball games, and maybe you win a decent amount of baseball games. But if you feel that way, if you feel like your team is good enough to maybe make that run together, you feel like you got to go. I feel like you got to go out and try to help that group somehow. And FP, you were talking about yesterday, you need that jolt. The clubhouse needs that jolt. You get a guy in here and you feel like, all right, the front office, the GM, the ownership, they're on our side. They believe in us. They want us to go out and win and get the job done. They're helping us out. But what you do is you trade away two of the guys who are regulars in that clubhouse, in Jorge Soler and in Alex Cobb. Cobb, and Luke Jackson, of course, he's kind
Cobb's
of a throw-in
there. Not a regular
there.
In the clubhouse. He hasn't been in the clubhouse.
He hasn't been there all year, dude.
He hasn't thrown one pitch. He's done nothing for them. And Luke Jackson is a guy that you have wanted gone for weeks now. So you really got rid of one guy.
You didn't bring anyone in. There's no new faces in here.
Marco Luciano is your new face. That's who you brought in. And you bring
he's
going
to be the jolt that's going to turn this offense around?
He might be. I mean, he's only had a very small sample, but the problem with Marco Luciano wasn't his bat. It was his glove. And now you don't have to even have him use a glove. He can use Jorge Soler's blue glove that FP was talking about in the handoff thingy. His blue glove from 12 years ago that he never uses. So you can have Marco Luciano just come up and be a hitter, and you can mix and match your DH as you see fit. And yeah, you lose Jorge Soler, who this year has a WAR wins above replacement of 1.1, which is good. Marco Luciano's a 0.3. So your net loss in WAR is 0.8 in those two players. And I'd have to check Luke Jackson, but I would imagine his WAR is negative at least 0.5. So if you want to just talk about wins above replacement, your net gain versus your net loss, it's almost negligible, and you saved a ton of money. So I don't see this as, no, you didn't make a bold move to add, and you didn't do a bold move to sell. It was not a fire sale. It was just a couple of pieces that you felt were either extra or didn't fit, and you have a chance now to promote a younger guy, and you go with a five-man rotation that you know. I don't think that your team got any worse from yesterday to today.
It is 3:09. We got breaking news. 95-7
the game. Breaking news.
The Giants have made a deal the buzzer. They snuck one in. Farhan hits the buzzer beater. The San Francisco Giants are acquiring Mark Canha from the Detroit Tigers, according to a source familiar with the deal. This comes courtesy of By Robert Murray on Twitter. The San Francisco Giants are acquiring Mark Canha from the Detroit Tigers. If you are a Bay Area native, you probably know him best from when he was an Oakland A. He's been a Met. He's a Tiger this year. He is on his way to the San Francisco Giants. You can put him in the outfield. You could DH him. Decent bat, Mark Canha. He is the newest San Francisco Giant, according to Robert Murray.
All right.
Mark Canha.
That's better than going with no replacement. So I don't know what the trade compensation will be. I would imagine that when you get Mark Canha, you're probably not sending one of your top 10 prospects. Maybe it's a top 20 prospect, or could be another smaller piece to it. I'm just seeing the report from, like you said, By Robert Murray on Twitter. I don't know who that reporter is. He is a guy from FanSided, so it comes from FanSided, and here it is now on MLB Network. Mark Canha, no known compensation going back the other way, but Mark Canna's a professional guy. He's a good outfielder, good defensive outfielder, guy with a little bit of pop historically.
.231 batting average this year, 7 home runs in 93 games. Never been a terribly great hitter for average. Let's see, his best season average-wise, he hit .273 in 2019 with the A's. Has hit double-digit home runs relatively often. That 2019 year was his best. He hit 26 bombs, drove in 58 runs that year while hitting .273. But he's not, It's nothing that makes you incredibly confident that this Giants offense is going to turn things around, but there are worse bats out there than Mark Canha. He's
Bears.
Solid baseball player.
Yeah. Go Bears.
Yeah, Cal Berkeley alum.
Positive WAR. He's a 0.5 WAR to the good this year, and he will be a free agent at the end of this season.
This isn't something to get super excited about, but the last 15 games, he's hit 6 home runs. He's hit to .271.
Yay!
Yeah,
well played, Carter.
I don't know. That's
no, but I think that
he's 35.
He's 35, and he is a guy who is in a contract year. So it's an expiring deal, and you have a guy who can come in and be a DH. He can play a little bit of outfield. I think that this is a perfect Farhan Zaidi kind of move. No deep investment in Canha. It's a guy who can come in and, you know, be a pinch hitter off the bench. He can DH. He can play the outfield. It's a natural fit, I think, for what they're trying to do. And it's also a little bit of Luciano insurance. So if Marco comes up and is the DH and tries his hand and it looks like he's a little bit overwhelmed, you've got Canha who can DH. And if Wilmer ever makes it back, FP, you know, we talked about it yesterday, the poor guy's knee, he may not be able to come back. But I think that Canha just gives you more options with a right-handed bat.
So Giants go out and they acquire Mark Hanna.
I don't know what to say.
They acquire Mark Hanna. They trade away Jorge Soler. They trade away Luke Jackson. They trade away Alex Cobb. They get back Mark Hanna. It's a bat that you can throw into, I don't know, maybe the sixth spot in the order when he does play. Mark Hanna headed to the San Francisco Giants, confirmed by a number of different outlets. Now Jeff Passan has confirmed it, so it is legitimate. Mark Hanna is the newest San Francisco Giant. He's really the only guy that they add to the trade deadline that is expected to be with the Major League club, maybe other than Tyler Matzik, a left-handed relief pitcher they got from the Braves, who is currently on the injured list with throwing elbow inflammation. You don't know if he's ever going to pitch. That's not the expectation, or that's not what the plan would be for the Giants in that move. The goal there was to get off of the money. The Braves take all that money. You do acquire Mark Hanna. You got a couple of minor leaguers back for the trades you made earlier, so maybe it's a net minor positive in terms of minor league assets after you make this move, but this isn't one that's going to completely change the fortunes of this offense. The offense is still going to be led, guys, by, you know, everyone else on this roster. The young guys, it's going to take Marco Luciano not looking overwhelmed, as you were talking about, Dibs. It's going to take Elliot Ramos continuing to perform at this level. Tyler Fitzgerald to continue playing well. He's not going to stay on an 8-home run in 10 games pace, but you're going to need something from him. Brett Wisely leading, playing at second base while Tyro Estrada's on the IL. Mike Yastrzemski and Michael Conforto are still here. You didn't trade away any of your outfielders. You throw another outfielder into the mix now with Mark Hanna. It just feels to me like all the moves at this trade deadline, and maybe an outside chance there's another one that trickles in a little bit later, I would be shocked. This seems to be it for the Giants. I can't really find a rhyme or reason for a lot of these moves, and I was just hoping for a more solid decision one way or the other, and this just kind of feels like a lot of moves down the middle, and I don't know exactly what to make
this
of it.
This one doesn't, this doesn't get me going.
Well, Canna also playing first base a lot this year.
Great.
So, no, it is great. So good. You don't have a right-hand hitting first baseman. This is a guy who can come in and play first. You don't have one of your big holes has been a first baseman who can bat right-handed because Wilmer Flores has been terrible.
Sell it,
so
sell it.
Canna's played 31 games at first. He can play the outfield. He can DH. He'll play left. He'll play right. This is a utility piece that you can add.
Classic Farhan player is what it is.
It's a classic Farhan move. And so I'm not saying that Canna's the difference between getting over the hump or not, but you all want to cry about trading Soler, and he's been good of late, but by and large, he's not been spectacular. So you bring in Canna, who is Soler light, but the difference is he can actually play the field. So he can play first in the outfield. He can DH. He's a little bit more of a versatile player, and he's largely the same kind of player as Soler, not quite the same power. Batting average is about the same. I think that this is something that it's not a desperation move, but if you're looking for a major league player who fits what you need, he fits better than Jorge Soler, in my opinion, because he can actually play defense. There, I sold it. You buying it, FP?
No, I'm not buying it.
No, he
played for Bob Melvin. So, like, maybe that's the connection there. Dylan Carlson from Elk Grove went to the Rays, by the way. I'm sure there's some people
shout
listening.
Out Elk Grove.
Yes, Elk Grove High.
Sneaky big city, by the way.
Dylan Carlson.
Eric Armstead. Yeah.
It used to just be all horses and stuff.
Elk Grove's got like 160,000 people or something.
Really?
It's just sneaky big.
Less horses now.
Yeah, more people.
Less cows, less horses.
Yeah, fewer, I think the same amount of cows.
Do they keep their mascot Thundering Herd, or was that offensive to like cows and they had to change it?
Seriously.
Maybe?
No, it's still the Thundering Herd.
I'm not sure. Dude, this doesn't move the needle. I mean, Mark Canna's a great player, but like, I just feel like we're the San Francisco Giants. Like, we're the Giants. This is a big franchise and a big market. Okay.
I'm surprised it took this move to make you feel that way. I was feeling this way.
I like the first two moves. I don't like Jorge Soler.
You got stuck on the horse.
Yeah,
or
just the whore part of it. I don't like him as
too
a leadoff
heavy on the
hitter.
Whore.
I want my big guys to go deep with runners on base. I didn't like him leading off, if I'm being honest. That just wasn't a fit for me. So I'm fine with that.
I think what's interesting is I get what you're saying entirely, and you got someone to take away the money, and that's great, and you save money here. You don't have to pay him $14 million next year and $14 million the following year, but it's also something that you're talking about, you know, scouting your own personnel and knowing your own guys. And I know, you know, a free agent signing is a little bit different because you don't know exactly what it's going to be like. once you get the guy in your clubhouse and how he reacts to a win, how he reacts to a loss and all of that. But it's also like you 4 months into a 3-year, $42 million contract, you were so, not satisfied with how he played, how he was willing to play, where he was willing to hit in the order, that you wanted to get rid of him for essentially nothing. The only thing you cared about, just about, was having someone else take the money. 4 months into a 3-year contract. And it's great. If it was a mistake, it was a mistake.
So is he supposed to ride it out to the end?
Let's just not shy away from the fact that it turned out to be a massive mistake to sign him to a 3-year, $42 million deal.
Right, so mistakes are made, and yeah, you can either ride it out to the end, or you can clean up hitter, dude.
And he wasn't willing to be a clean
up
hitter.
So then he's not living up to his part of the deal, so why do you want to keep a guy around for all that money that's not living up to the bargain?
At some point,
it's on the player, dude.
Don't you feel like you have the conversation
before? Money after bad is what you're doing if you keep him around.
$42 million, don't you talk to him and say, hey, would you be willing to hit cleanup for us or 3, 4, 5, 6 for us this year? And he says, no, I want to hit leadoff.
Well, what you say when you're signing a contract and what you do, right, but when you get into it, what you do and what you say can be markedly different. You get 3 months into a year and you realize that you're not comfortable with whatever your situation is, and now you want to hit leadoff, and, well, okay, we have this guy for 3 years. Sure, we'll try you at leadoff, and you put him at leadoff, and you don't want him to hit there, and you realize, man, this is not working for us. What do? Then you trade him. Instead of waiting for 2 more years and, you know, not admitting your mistake until 3 years down the road, you don't shovel good money after bad. If the deal was bad and you get into a spot where you can trade it, you make the trade now. And that's what they did. And you package Luke Jackson, which nobody wanted him around among fans. And so you're able to get a couple guys back, one of whom won't be able to pitch this year, I don't think. And I want to ask the doc that, Doc Pandya, coming up at 4 o'clock, because Tyler Matzek has flexor tendon signaling, which, it's not his UCL, but it's the flexor tendon right next to it. What does that mean when you have flexor tendon signaling?
I think I have it.
Seriously.
I threw one ball at one of those fantasy deals.
Today?
No, like a month ago from short. I don't know if I still had it. I ended on a high note, 4-seamer, right on the money. And I felt something go pow. And now it hurts. I can't throw anymore.
Jeez.
I couldn't even throw from second today. I was taking grounders with the people out there. I can't make the throw from second.
So some 51-year-old is trying to beat out a grounder, and the old ego kicked in, so FP had to pump him out from short.
It's just batting practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just batting practice. And then we take grounders and fungos. It's cool. I mean, just see the looks on their faces when they're standing on a major league field, looking up at the third deck. It's really cool. But yeah, I'm going to ask the doc about my elbow.
Okay.
I think I broke it. I think my elbow's broke.
Could be a flexor tendon signaling, but that's what Tyler Matzek has, so yes.
Wouldn't expect him anytime soon.
Signaling? No. Signaling, like your flexor tendon is giving you a signal.
He can't signal he's making a right turn on a bike?
On his bike, no. Yeah. Exactly. That would be, you go with the left hand, right?
Is it this one? Up, left hand up, left hand down?
It's either right hand up or right hand out. I can't remember which arm. I haven't ridden a bike in sneaky like 15 years.
Right hand down is stopping, right hand up. Left hand down is stopping, left hand up is turning right. Left hand pointed out, left is turning left.
There you go. He can't ride a bike.
Get on my e-scooter and dodge those buses on Market Street. It's fun, dude. You'd like it, I think. He's zigzagging outside of the buses.
I don't think I have the heart for it anymore.
The electric connection thing popping while you're going by them. Rush, dude.
Yeah.
Just like surfing.
I do think that when you look at these deals and the Jorge Soler one, if you were looking at 3 years of Jorge Soler and you weren't happy with the way it was trending, then you make the trade now. And it doesn't mean that the signing was any less of a mistake. It just means that you get out now, and Farhan Zaidi is going to talk in about 10 minutes and we'll carry a lot of it for you and we'll get his comments. And I wonder how he's going to frame everything that's gone on, because you're right, Mark. A lot of moves have been made around them. Dodgers loading up, Cardinals, Pirates, other teams have added significantly, and the Giants have added incrementally, which is what Farhan does. He does increments. And so here you sit, the trade deadline is over, and your big ad is Mark Canha. Mark Canha and Tyler Matzek, who's got flexor tendon signaling, and a couple of minor leaguers. No, I want to ask Doc about that, because Tyler's coming off of...
I never heard of that, dude.
He had Tommy John. And then you come back from Tommy John, and he pitched 11 innings, and it's not his UCL, but it's near his UCL. It's UCL adjacent.
Is it UCLA?
It's kind of, UCLA kind of adjacent.
It's kind of near
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to use that. It's a four.
Yeah.
So you probably won't have Matzek. So really your trade deadline was getting rid of three guys and getting a couple of minor leaguers,
Mark Canna,
an injured guy in Mark Canna.
So Mark Canna wants to be a Giant. Like that's they're saying right now. He's like landed in a great spot. He's got a 940 career OPS at Oracle Park. He likes to hit there. I'll see on this one.
And that's he's not a San one Jose make, kid. The only players the Giants can get are people that have Bay Area ties. No one else wants to come here.
Brian Price, the manager, Bob Melvin.
Now Brian Price from Mill Valley, Tam High.
Go Bears.
Yep.
Way more Bears than Stanford. Marin County. That's good.
Yeah.
So Mark Canna in, Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, Alex Cobb out. The trade deadline expired 23 minutes ago. That's going to be all for the San Francisco Giants. Mark Canna is essentially the only addition to this roster. Giants fans, how does this make you feel? What's the direction of this franchise? Because it feels to me there isn't an easy answer to that question. This is a piece from an article that I read from Ken Rosenthal yesterday about the Tampa Bay Rays, who have essentially traded away, as they always do, a number of their best players for prospects. The line here, they will never be accused of indecision. I feel like the Giants have been stuck in indecision over the Farhan Zaidi tenure, and I don't see it ending anytime soon. This is a frustrating trade deadline for me, FP.
Austin Slater got traded to the Orioles. Good for him.
Wow, so he's playing for a third team this year.
And he gets to play for a winner. He goes to first.
And gets a chance to potentially win a division and have October baseball.
I like that a lot. Except for we won't see him now in Cincinnati. The team is going to Cincinnati on Thursday, but that's good for him. Good for Austin Slater, even though he went to Stanford.
How about this note as well about the trade deadline? This comes from Mark Feinsand. Where did it go? There was one. No top 100 MLB top 100 prospects were traded throughout the trade deadline today.
Everyone holding on to their prospects.
Even though there were a lot of big name guys that got traded, and we talk about the haul that the Tampa Bay the Toronto Blue Jays got for Yusei Kikuchi. The Houston Astros giving up three of their best prospects. None of them were top 100. Everybody is holding on to all their prospects. And maybe ultimately that's what led for the Giants to hold on to Blake Snell. No one blew them away with a crazy offer.
J.D. Davis to the Rays. Another Elk Grove's finest goes to the Rays.
So many ex-Giants going all over the place right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think that's a good point about the Blake Snell trade, because we talked yesterday on the show, and you know, the whole idea of, you know, having a conversation where you can't get off the phone because the offer is so good. Ned Coletti had that, and I don't think the Giants had that offer on the other end of the phone.
I'm sure they were dangling Blake out there.
Oh, you have to.
They were dangling him
just to see what the potential return would get. But if you don't get the return that you were hoping for, as you were just laying out, did this Ned Coletti put it out? If there's an offer that makes you stay on the phone, then you consider it. But if the offer that comes across and Farhan immediately doesn't like it, you hang it up, then that deal is over and it's never going to work out. And maybe that's how it all happened. I know Farhan Zaidi is going to address the media here coming up in just a little bit. And we will eventually let you hear the vast majority of it, and we'll react to everything that he does say. As the trade deadline has come and gone, the San Francisco Giants don't just stand pat, but they trade away a couple of pieces. Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, Alex Cobb. They get some minor leaguers. They get an injured relief pitcher who maybe doesn't pitch again this season. And they also just go out and make a trade for Mark Canna. We don't know what's being sent out from the Giants back to Detroit in return for Mark Canna. I would imagine it's nothing crazy in terms of a prospect haul. Mark Canna is a 35-year-old outfielder who's hitting .231 this
Everybody
year.
Listening and you guys here, raise your hand if you thought Farhan was just going to go ballistic and nuts and trade everybody in the trade deadline.
No,
We
said yesterday they're probably not going to do anything, and you and I, Dibs, were okay with that.
It's a micro deals.
They checked the box at shortstop. That was their biggest need. So if all of a sudden your biggest need at the trade deadline is going out and getting a shortstop, and Tyler Fitzgerald has stepped up and took the bull by the horns, you check that box. There's your shortstop. They wanted defense in center field. I thought Kiermaier would be a big fit. I don't care if he's bad, whatever he hits for you, he hits for you.
Sub 200.
It's a 2-month window. He could catch fire, he could not, but at least he's going to run down every ball at Oracle Park. And then they acquired Robbie Ray. They acquired Blake Snell, the real Blake Snell. I thought Alex Cobb would be a nice fit, but now Hayden Birdsong's like an acquisition because you didn't see that coming. That's why I have faith that this team is going to make a push. I don't know where it's going to end up. I'm not confident enough in it to say, they're going to be in the playoffs. I told you. I don't have that confidence. But I have confidence that they're going to play better baseball based solely on their pitching staff, their starting five is pretty badass right now.
We'll see. They kick things off post-trade deadline tonight at home against the Oakland A's as the Bay Bridge Series gets underway. The last iteration of the Bay Bridge Series, because this is the last time the Giants and A's will play while the A's are still in Oakland. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's FP, Dibs, and Grandy with you in for Mark Willard. The trade deadline has come and gone. Mark Canha is a Giant. That's just about it for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk more about it on the other side as Willard and Dibs continues here on 95.7 The Game.
Could have come in and helped you. And if you look at who that player is, and everyone wanted to talk about Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette and all these other players that didn't get traded, even Luis Robert from Chicago didn't get traded. The more you look at bats around baseball, the majority of these guys didn't get traded. So do you want to go out there and sacrifice your future to bring in a bat for 2 months, a rental? I wouldn't want them to do that. And I do think it's interesting about the notion of Farhan Zaidi. If they don't make the playoffs, is Farhan in trouble? Maybe Farhan Zaidi did exactly what the front office, or what the ownership rather, wanted him to do, which was get a little bit closer to getting underneath the competitive balance tax for the future, while also not sacrificing this year. That might have been his marching orders. So if that's the case, then maybe he keeps his job based on doing what ownership wanted, because we know this about ownership. They want to break even. They want to come close to breaking even. And that's going to be hard this year when you spent more than $200 million in the offseason and you haven't gotten the results. And attendance is up, but not up enough to where you're probably going to make money. So maybe the marching orders for Farhan were to cut some payroll while also making sure the team stayed good.
Is that not frustrating, though? If the marching orders is cut payroll, like, just go out there and try to go for it. Try to win.
It's frustrating, but it's, you got to be real about the business and what the business model is, and what, how Farhan Zaidi has done things ever since he's taken this team. He's never been one to go out there and do things reckless at the deadline. He's the king of the micro move.
You guys sound like you want moves just to make moves. And if you make moves just to make moves to appease a fan base, you're going to make the wrong moves. Like, who's out there? Like, what guy would have made a difference in the Giants lineup that they didn't get? Like, who is it? I mean, I like Jazz Chisholm. As soon as Jazz Chisholm was off the board and he went to the Yankees, then what? You want your starting lineup for tonight?
Yeah, give it to me.
Tyler Fitzgerald leading off at shortstop. Casey Schmidt batting second, Elliot Ramos in center batting third, Matt Chapman at third base, cleanup hitter. Patrick Bailey do the catching. Marco Luciano is your DH. Hitting, what is that?
Seventh.
Sixth. Hitting seventh, Mike Yastrzemski. Hitting eighth, David Villar. Hitting ninth, Derek Hill. And on the mound for your Giants, Robbie Ray.
Against the A's at Oracle Park.
Tyler Fitzgerald in the leadoff spot is what we speculated would happen. And now you got a true leadoff hitter with speed. Maybe a little too much swing and miss for that spot in the order. But the guy that was there before had more swing and miss.
So. Yeah. All right, we do have Farhan Zaidi is addressing the media down at Oracle Park right now. We do have his opening statement. Here's Farhan Zaidi after the Giants moves at the trade deadline. To sum it up, Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to Atlanta, Alex Cobb to Cleveland. The Giants get back an injured reliever and a couple of low-level prospects. That was yesterday and earlier today. And just as the deadline came, the Giants acquired Mark Canha from the Detroit Tigers for a low-level prospect of their own. That was the moves for the Giants at the deadline. Marco Luciano and Blake Sable are up to take the spots on the active roster for Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson. Here's Farhan Zaidi on his team's moves at the trade deadline.
You know, I think as we looked at how this season has unfolded so far, a couple things really stand out. You know, one which people have talked a lot about, and it's certainly how we feel internally, is it's been a long road to get our rotation to the place it's in now. We feel like we have the best rotation in baseball. So you know, when you have starting pitching like that, it can get you on a roll. You know, for us to keep that group together, seeing how we played this past weekend was, you know, really high priority. And obviously we had to be open to things that might come up, but that was really, you know, really our central philosophy going into the deadline is, and we have a rotation that can carry this team down the stretch and get us on a roll.
There's Farhan, opening statement down to the at Oracle Park, addressing the media after the trade deadline comes and goes. He says the Giants' main goal was to just keep the starting rotation together. They made one move from a pitcher's perspective. They traded away Alex Cobb, but he was not part of the rotation all season because he was coming back from offseason hip surgery. Then he had the shoulder derail his rehab a couple of times. Most recently, had a blister pop on his last rehab start that pushed back his return date a little bit more, and now his return will not come with the Giants. It will come with the Cleveland Guardians, perhaps in another week or so. He says, quote, "We feel like we have the best rotation in baseball. That's Farhan Zaidi. And when you have that, you feel like it's enough to keep you in the mix for things." And they better hope it keeps them in the mix for things, because you read down that lineup earlier today, or just a little bit ago, FP, that the Giants are going to trot out against the A's. It doesn't necessarily put a lot of fear into opposing pitchers, some of those names in that lineup.
But could you have changed that narrative with a trade or two trades? Probably not, because I don't think that those big bats were available. Like, everybody wants to dream about fantasy baseball and, you know, what you might be able to acquire out there. It felt to me like the majority of hitters that were moved, Jazz Chisholm, maybe one of the bigger offensive threats that actually was on the move this year. But beyond that, there weren't a lot of big bats. So you kind of are stuck with what you came into the trade deadline with. And a lot of that is a reliance on the younger players. Fitzgerald's been great. Now you get Luciano gets a crack at it. Ramos was an all-star. You keep Chapman and Yaz toward the bottom. Patrick Bailey's had a good year. You should have enough combined with good pitching to win the way the Giants were going to have to win anyway, which is more 4-3 than 8-3.
Grandy, how do you like your sports?
What do you mean?
Like, are you the kind of fan that even if the team's playing well, you're looking for ways to get better? Are you the kind of fan that's glass half empty all the time? Are you the kind of fan that even if your team's playing well, you're like, well, the Dodgers are better, or the Phillies are better? Like, how do you like your sports? It seems to me like you don't enjoy them like you could. Like, it seems like you're frustrated.
I'm frustrated by this Giants team for the last handful of years, no doubt about it.
And all my friends are Giants fans, and the reason I'm getting to this is because they all have the same attitude you do. And I get that. I understand the frustration. But for you to be super excited right now on the air, not off the air, but on the air, super excited, what would the Giants have had to do for you? Like, what were you looking for in the trade deadline?
I'm looking for just a hard step in one direction or the other. And this just feels like you're treading water. You're not going one way or the other.
But that's a very general term. What
putting
do you mean
together
step?
A major package and being willing to part with some of your promising
Who?
Younger players.
Who? Names. I want names.
Bryce Eldridge, Elliot Rama, whatever it takes. Luis okay. Matos okay. to go out and get someone like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, ultimately, the Blue Jays came out and said, we're not going to move him.
What if they tried to do that and it just didn't happen? What if
trying is great. At some point, you got to just do it.
But or if the Blue Jays say we're not trading him for that, and your prospects aren't good
enough.
It's
much like the Giants
enough.
Saying we're not going to trade Blake Snell. It's so you ultimately, everyone has a price eventually. You're just going to sit here and trot out a mediocre lineup night after night after night and hope that things work out for you? You have to take matters in your own hand and do something. Now, that's what's one avenue. Package together a lot of your younger promising pieces and get a legitimate star hitter that hasn't been here forever. You can't acquire him in free agency. You have to try to acquire that guy different way.
Who's that guy, though?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Okay.
Luis Robert.
The report is that Toronto didn't want to trade Vladimir Guerrero
Jr. Because they didn't get a package that they wanted. It's the same reason the Giants didn't trade Blake
Snell.
Maybe
they realized that he's a really good player and that they would like to have really good players on their team. Just because you want to acquire a player doesn't mean you can find 8 prospects and pry that player from another team just because you feel like your offer is overwhelming. I get the frustration.
And if that's not working, then the other option is go the other way. And if you're going to trade Alex Cobb and you're going to trade Jorge Soler and you want to save yourself some money and you're trying to beef up your prospects and maybe you gear that up for an offseason trade where you can trade prospects to bring in someone else, a proven star in the offseason, then take a full step in the other direction and trade Blake Snell and trade Robbie Ray and trade Matt Chapman.
That makes no sense because you're 4
games
out of the wild
card. You're treading water.
You're not treading water. You've won 4
Everyone else ahead of you got better and you're just standing still.
Out of the wild card and you've got the best rotation in baseball. There's no treading water about it with a third of the year left to go. The deadline comes, you got 54 games left and you look at your team and you look at your rotation and you think, we've got enough pitching, we have a good enough rotation to win games with a schedule that stacks up to not be very difficult compared to the rest of the league. So you're not in a spot where you absolutely have to give up on the year when you're four games out. That, to me, is the kind of mentality that would get Farhan Zaidi fired.
And there's a very real possibility they miss the postseason. Blake Snell opts out. Robbie Ray opts out. Matt Chapman opts out. And then you're stuck with nothing next year.
I think he answered your question about what kind of fan is he.
Yeah.
Because that is glass half empty thinking, in my opinion.
What have the Giants done for the last 5-6 years that proves that suggests that they're going to have anything other than happen to them?
You can't look at the last 6 years in the lens of what's going on this year. This year is this year. Most of these guys weren't here 6 years ago.
This year feels like last year. It feels like 2 years ago.
It feels that way to you because you're not there. And if you're Farhan Zaidi and you're the guy charged with making a winner happen and you spent all this money in the offseason, to pull the plug now for me would be loser mentality. And it would be basically him saying, please fire me because I don't think that I made enough of the right moves to make this work. Instead, you make these incremental moves here at the deadline. You try to slightly improve your team or improve your situation, and you've got five pitchers coming back. You have a real rotation, and you're only four games out. For me, there's no reason to go dramatically the other way. And I know what you're saying about you want to have them commit, either go all in or be all out. That's not the way this regime works. They've never done it this way. Like it or hate it, they've never been that sort of a front office. They've never gone fire sale, and they've never gone completely balls to the wall.
And what has it gotten them?
Traded prospects and gone out and gotten the biggest hitter out there.
And what has it gotten them?
Got them 107 wins 1 year.
That's great. How many playoff wins was that?
Zero.
Two playoff wins, zero series wins.
And you can't look at your own results and change your process just based on past results. Farhan Zaidi he's going to do it one way, and this is the way that he's always done it. And if you don't like the way he goes about it, then you make a change, and maybe they will at the end of the season, depending on how it goes.
I'm frustrated by this being the feeling I have at this stage of the season every single year. I feel this way every single year. In my opinion, I feel like the franchise is stuck in the mud. They can't pick a lane. They're trying to compete, but they're not willing to spend all of the money necessary to get it done. They're saving some money, but they're still trying to compete with these moves at the trade deadline.
They spent $300 million in the offseason.
And then they just got cut costs at the trade deadline. And they're still trying to convince us that they are confident that this team has enough to make a run into the postseason. They're two games under 500 after 108 games played. They can hardly catch the ball defensively. Their pitchers can't hold anybody on base. They don't walk much. They don't steal bases on their own. I'm just having a hard time finding out what this team does well, other than the promise of a pitching staff who, for most of the season, you haven't had anyone even available. And yeah, now they're all available.
So
you hope they stay that way.
Well, and you can never.
Dude,
you might be the most
negative dude I've ever heard on the air.
Seriously. I don't know how you can look at this team and be positive.
Every time somebody says something, it could happen. You say that it couldn't happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's either going to happen or it's not.
You can't bank on injuries. I mean, you could have every player for every other team get hurt, and then the Giants might have the best roster in baseball. You can't look at injuries and bank on that. All you can do is look at where you sit at this point, and you've got three really good pitchers and two very good pitchers, and you feel like if that's good enough to go on a little bit of a run,
who knows?
That's your best chance at it.
Nobody knows, but it is a damn good rotation. And you take a guy that throws 100 and put him in the eighth inning now, and he's not out there trying to get through five, trying to get through the order again. You put him in a familiar spot, even though he may not like it, in Jordan Hicks. Now your bullpen got stronger, your rotation got stronger. And maybe you score three runs. Maybe your stat dibs about four runs in the record is three runs now with this staff. I don't know. I like my baseball however it is. But you sound miserable, Grandy. Seriously, you do.
It's been miserable to be a fan of this team for a number of years.
There's so much joy in sports. There's so much to take out of it from a positive aspect to enjoy baseball and the love of the game and go watch a ball game. You just sound like miserable. Why would you even watch the Giants with your takes right now? Like, you just sound so upset.
I'm so upset.
I am upset. I don't know how you can't feel that way after watching this team the last 3 years. It's been one of the most infuriating processes for me as a fan.
If I was a White Sox fan,
you just sound miserable.
I would be of that mindset. If I was a fan of the White Sox.
This is the San Francisco freaking Giants.
Right. And then,
unacceptable.
He's the Giants.
Is that Butcher Boy?
That was Butcher.
Butch? Yeah.
Well, like, the expectation for the Giants shouldn't be like, okay, we're two games under 500. Let's give it a chance. It should be, no, let's go out and freaking take it.
The expectation is to make the playoffs, and you're in a spot where you're very much in the playoff picture. You're
four games out. And they made the playoffs 1 year in this regime.
Right, which is a disappointment, and that might ultimately cost Farhan Zaidi his job, and it cost the manager his job because he was unable to get it done. And you've got ownership that has a lot of questions to answer to the fans. And so this offseason, they did what everybody wanted, which was go out and spend a bunch of money, bring in better players, and let's give it a go. And you got to the trade deadline, and so far it has not worked. And so you made moves, and you got rid of Jorge Soler, and you got rid of Luke Jackson, and you brought in Mark Canha. And is that going to get you from being two games below 500 to 15 above? Probably not. But is it enough to where you can stay in it in August? You can make a run in September, and maybe you become the third wild card team. And at that point, if you're 85-77 and you're a wild card team, you're going to feel better about it.
Grandy, you have 2 minutes with your rebuttal. Go.
Less than that. We got to hit a break. We got the doc coming up on the other side for Cleared to Play, and I got to take a deep breath. I mean, they got Casey Schmidt, David Villar, and Derek Hill in the lineup tonight, the first game after the trade deadline. That's frustrating me. I want my team to be better than they are, and I feel like I'm being punished for wanting that. I got to take a deep breath. We're taking a break. We got the doc Cleared to Play coming up next on the other side, and then we will hear from Farhan Zaidi, his full comments after the trade deadline. That's coming up in half an hour at 4:30. It's Willard and Dibs, Dan Dibley, FP Santangelo, Mark Randy with you. More coming up on the other side on Willard and Dibs as we continue. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.